Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
And we are back here on Rutherford Issues from WGNS, and we are made possible by our friends at Middle Tennessee Electric. Whether you've got kids researching school projects or working from home, United Communications offers award-winning fiber internet and phone service across Middle Tennessee to keep your household seamlessly connected. Learning more about this online at mte.com/internet will do you very, very well, I'm sure. Today, we are going to talk about, several things here going on. And once again, joining us from the TDOC, Richard Boyd. And Richard, I'm going to let you help me introduce everybody and kind of what we're talking about. But good morning.
Good morning. We have with us today Haley McPherson with Volunteer Behavioral Health and Mr. Lance Anderson with The Journey Home. I want to give a shout out to Representative Sparks for letting me come on during his time slot and talk about Overdose Awareness Day, our event that's happening next Thursday starting at 9 a.m. and going until 12:15.
And it is going to be held where?
It's going to be at the Murfreesboro Day Reporting Center, 1938 South Point Way. It's if you know where Hiller Heating and Plumbing is, you see it on 24, we're right next to them.
Okay. So not too far from where we are.
No, took me like 5 minutes to get here.
As the crow flies, we're going to talk a lot more about Overdose Awareness Day and all of that. And first of all, Lance, good to have you. How did Journey Home become involved in all this?
I did my master's degree internship with Director Boyd, and then took a position at Journey Home and connected them once we were partnered with the Rutherford Opioid Board.
And then the rest is history, huh?
Yeah, and I got to say, Journey Home is a great supporter of the Day Reporting Center, especially with the relationship that Mr. Anderson and I had after he did his internship with us. They provide a lot of resources for our individuals, those housed and unhoused. So a lot of times when we get someone ordered into our program out of jail, they might not have a place to live. We're able to hook them up with the Journey Home, and Lance and his team do magic as far as I'm concerned with getting them somewhere safe and secure so that they can go through this road to recovery.
Haley McPherson Bush is also here with Volunteer Behavioral Health, and I'm sure that that's another one of the agencies that you work with in terms of that. Haley, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be here.
So kind of tell me about Volunteer Behavioral Health's involvement with the Day Reporting Center and how that works.
Yeah, so this is something that we've been wanting to do for several years. And so I think about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, because of the Rutherford Opioid Board, we were awarded funds to kind of place someone in the community and really meet people where they are at. And so in meeting with Richard, we felt as if that's a gap that needed to be filled, was the behavioral health care management and connection to those types of resources. And so we embedded a clinician into the Daily Reporting Center 2 days a week, and she works with any of the clients that are needing services. Yeah. And so we serve the underserved, essentially. So uninsured, Medicaid population, that's our bread and butter right there.
Richard, that's the third person of the three guests here that have mentioned the Rutherford Opioid Board. And I guarantee you there's somebody out there that doesn't know what that is. What do you know about it and how it came about, or any details about the Rutherford Opioid Board?
Unfortunately, I don't know a lot about the Rutherford Opioid Board, but I'll tell you what, if you show up to our overdose awareness event,
you'll find out.
Yeah, we do have someone from the coalition showing up, so they'll have a booth. So if you've got questions about the opiate board, rather than me trying to answer those, come out and they will be able to help you quite a bit. And I know they do a lot.
Yeah, well, they've had I guess this is part of the national settlement or whatnot, and some of those dollars are here in Rutherford County doing opioid awareness, just to be a short sentence about that work. And I'm assuming, Richard, that drug use is part of what you're dealing with, obviously.
Absolutely. So the Day Reporting Center, we were brought into place as an alternative to incarceration. So when someone is going before the court for multiple felony court, for multiple drug offenses, before all they could do was sentence them to jail or prison. So now what we've got is we've got the Day Reporting Center, which rather than sending them there, they can send them to us. So they've got to have a minimum of 18 months left on their felony sentence. Get a referral from the court. So if someone listening knows someone sitting in jail, please do not call me. I cannot take that referral, but get in touch with their attorney. Their attorney can get in touch with me. We can do the assessment, and if they're appropriate for our program and then the court agrees, they come in and come through, and it's very intensive.
Very intensive, huh?
Very, yeah, it's three phases. It takes about 18 months to go through, and I have had a lot of males and females who've graduated the program who have said sitting in jail or prison would have been easier. This was hard. And it's like, yeah,
on purpose?
Not on purpose, but recovery is hard.
Yeah.
Because it's taking a lot of accountability. So those that do graduate, which we will have a graduation on Thursday on Overdose Awareness Day at 10 o'clock. I think we're going to have anywhere between 10 and 13 graduate our program that day. So come out and see your tax dollars at work.
We're talking with a guest about the Overdose Awareness Day, Thursday, August the 27th, 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. at 1938 South Point Way in Murfreesboro. Just stick that in your phone. It's south of town, just off Middle Tennessee.
Correct.
Yeah, as it gets close to New Salem. As you're going in that direction to Middle Tennessee, not the other way.
Right, yeah. Yeah. It's
close to the interstate, like you said.
Close to the interstate. There's a car wash nearby. And a Waffle House that's delivery only, unfortunately. I used to go up there
and
eat.
Isn't that wild? Didn't know that there was such a thing.
Yeah.
Lance, talk a little bit about Journey Home and your work, obviously, with this particular population that maybe are going, even going through the program, but just helping them through all of that.
So the Journey Home is a resource center for those struggling with homelessness or are at risk of homelessness. We currently provide health. We have a healthcare clinic, mental health clinic. We provide meals, two meals a day, showers, laundry services. And through the DRC, we have been able to provide breakfast and lunch meals for 10 people every day for I don't even know how many weeks now.
Oh, it's been going on for quite a while. A
couple months now. So
well, now that you're kind of neighbors almost, yeah. You know, yeah, in your brand new home over there.
Yep.
Still settling in, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes. It's lovely to have the new home.
Yeah.
So my job is housing navigation. And I help those that are positioned and ready to move on into their own place work through that process.
When are you going to grow a cool beard like the big guy?
No.
Not going to happen.
I don't think so. No.
Just the name Volunteer Behavioral Health, Haley, just kind of it brings in maybe a lot of speculation about what it is and what you do, and maybe that's the whole beauty of the name because of the number of people that you can work with. But specifically for those who maybe have some type of drug addiction or conviction, things of that nature, how does behavioral health work into that segment of the population?
So volunteer behavioral health, you know, on the on the agency service side, we provide wraparound services for the behavioral health population, right? So that's anywhere from crisis and detox services, 24/7 services, to our outpatient side. So we've got a MAT clinic, we've got outpatient counseling, IOP, medication management, and then case management as well to connect with resources like Journey Home and things like that. But I think what's important is that, you know, with all of the disciplinaries that we have, you know, in the criminal justice population, everything is really, really connected. So there's a lot of underlying root issues to things. You know, people have poor impulse control because of unmanaged mental health issues, or they have co-occurring issues where they've experienced trauma early on in life, and now they're self-medicating, and it's causing them to fall victim to addiction and then start that cycle of, you know, incarceration and getting out and trying to navigate that. So behavioral health in general is so intertwined with our population that's incarcerated, and even the work that we do on their way out as well is really important to reduce recidivism and things of that nature.
Yeah. I just think about the on your way out of that program, and then it's just like, okay, you're supposed to have it all figured out by
now what,
right?
Yeah.
And
yes.
Now what, you know, and maybe Richard talk about that part, now out, what does that mean, and are there services available there even,
right? So if someone is not referred to the day reporting center, but they are on felony probation, or they were 10 years ago and they've already done with that sentence, we've got what's called the Community Resource Center, so they can actually walk through the door, and they can say, hey, I was on, to use the term they use, I was on papers 15 years ago, but I need help finding a job. I need help finding housing. I need some, my child's acting up at school. I need some mental health. We can, through Haley and Lance and the 500 other partners we work with, connect them with those resources.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs, anything, we can help them apply for food stamps, WIC, Social Security, disability. We don't do it for them, but we can help them navigate that process.
Sometimes, I guess many times, if they have a felony conviction, that felony part continues to follow it, you know?
It absolutely does. And I've heard a lot about, oh, I've got a felony, I can't get a job. Come out to our center. We've got a lot of employers who are saying, I need somebody to work for me. Who do you got?
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell them, we can get you a job to start with. It's not a career. It's going to be a job. And from there, then we'll look at helping you get the career you want.
And aren't there even resources that in certain instances, depending on the situation, maybe the years that have passed, there are ways to even have that expunged?
Some there is. I don't know about expungement,
yeah.
But yeah, you can go to the clerk's office and ask about that. And I do know the last time we had a job fair, we had a truck company show up, and they were wanting to hire people with felonies on their record, and they were going to send them to truck driving school and get the CDL, and they were going to pay them while they were in truck driving school. Mm. And I was like, that's a pretty good program.
Yeah, yeah. And it's those kind of type of programs, Lance, that keep people from maybe having to use your services of, you know, homelessness or, you know, a paycheck away from homelessness, because that can be tough if you can't find a job.
Yeah, and like with the felony charge, that's a big issue when it comes to housing also.
Mm-hmm.
Is there's a stigma tied to it that property managers really hold against the clients, and that's something that we try to work with the property managers with and see if we can try to get them in.
Yeah, I guess that they're the manager of the property and they get to decide who's there, but to help walk them through, you know, maybe this is something that happened 20 years ago,
yeah.
You know, it can be a big difference in that, which often leads right back to you, Haley. And if this person is struggling to find a job, struggling to find a home, to have the resources that they need to help raise maybe a family, all of those things, sometimes it's just easier to go back to where you've been. And so that brings a behavioral health issue right back into the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when you have an individual that's facing like, okay, I'm either going to have to work three times as hard to get, you know, just to step one, or I can go back to, you know, doing what I was doing previously. Maybe I'll get caught, maybe I don't. I think that as long as we are continuously wrapping these people with support, like saying you don't have to do this, there is an easier way, there is a resource here. I think a lot of times in communities in general, the resources are very untapped. You know, just like Richard mentioned, see your tax dollars at work. We get these grant programs that are funded by tax dollars, and we create these programs to overcome barriers that, you know, these individuals may face. And that can be as small as a pair of work boots, you know, or a year-long bus pass so that they can get some transportation consistently. Yeah. There are so many different things that we can do just to make one piece of their situation a little bit better. And I think that those instances motivate them to try and find the rest of them.
A $200 pair of steel toe work boots sometimes is the hindrance that keeps you from even getting that job. So before our time gets away, Richard, one more time about the Overdose Awareness Day, which is coming up. Time, date, who can come, all of that.
Everybody can come August 27th. And I do want to say, if you need a driver's license, an ID, or a renewal, we are also going to have Tennessee Department of Homeland Security, the driver's license people there. You don't have to wait in that really long line.
Nice.
Yeah. So you can just come right in. They only take, you got to have your paperwork. They only take check, credit cards, no cash.
Okay. Very good. We'll post those details on the website, WGNSradio.com. And thanks, guys, for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
Richard Boyd, also Lance Anderson, and Haley McPherson-Bush joining us on the show today.